Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Now that we've shut down the Patreon and we're no longer putting out new episodes over there, we wanted to put some of the old episodes out here on the free feed. But due to how old some of them are, we wanted to provide a little bit of context before each episode. So this episode was recorded on August 11th, 2022, and it's answering the question, what would you do, what would both of you do if you were starting all over again today? Next up is a question from Treefly. I'm going to guess that's not his real name or her real name. Treefly says, hi, I've been listening to each of your podcasts. I was wondering if you had to start it all over again, what would you do to really get your business booming? And I think that's an interesting question just due to like, times are different now than when John and I started. So if I think about this question, I'm trying to put myself in Treefly's shoes here. Why is Treefly asking this question? Is it because they're just beginning and they're wondering how to get a jump start? Are they wondering if they're doing something wrong? I'm trying to think through the reason behind this question before I give like my type of answer. John, how do you perceive the question of, if you had to start it all again, what would you do to really get your business booming?
Well, I assume it's if I was starting a high ticket dropshipping business again, what would I do to really get my business booming? Like specific to high ticket dropshipping, if I was starting a new business. I mean, the question might be moderated a little bit by what situation was I in if I had to start again. Like, am I starting again with $0? Am I starting again with $20,000? Like, because the answer in those two cases might be very different. But yeah, I take it as what would I do different to get it really booming? I don't think I would do anything different to what we teach people to do, to be honest. If I had money, you know, I would probably spend more money on ads than most people do when they start. I mean, I don't know. I would get started down the SEO path much earlier than most people start. But to a certain extent, you know, I mean, there's only so much you can do to get one of these businesses started as well. Like you can't. There is no hidden things here that we're not telling people about that you could do. Do you know what I mean? That are going to make it go any faster. Yeah, you can spend more, you can do more advertising right out of the gate. Once again, though, you want to be careful about that, because if you do too much advertising before you know how to advertise the products you've got, then you might waste a ton of money and not make any sales as well. So, you know, I don't know that there's really some surprising answer to that question from my perspective. I would start a business in the way I teach people to start a business, and then I would market it in the way that I teach people to market it, but I would probably just do the marketing a bit faster and a bit harder than most people who are doing this for the first time can do it.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the speed. Like you said, like there's a lot you learn going through this a few times that you don't have to relearn, right? It's just a process. Mm-hmm. I've got documents upon documents at this point for product uploading, all sorts of stuff. I know exactly how I want my collection pages built. I know the types of pages I want built out immediately. It's going to go a lot faster. The one thing I would do is something I recently did on the business that I'm building is I would lean harder into the SEO in the beginning. And by doing so, I would go buy an expired domain. And so if you haven't already, go to odys.global, odys.global. You will need to sign up to be able to get in there. I think they give you some free money to spend if you sign up as well. Certainly there's some affiliates out there where I think you get some free money, but just looking, right? So I just clicked sports. And the first thing that came up when I clicked sports was a soccer website. So if you were thinking about getting into the soccer niche or the soccer market, marketing to soccer players, and you wanted to buy this website with authority, soccerstriker.net is the first one that comes up here. It's $13,000, but it's got a 30 domain authority, and I'm going to guess it has some pretty good links if they're charging this price on here. It's the former domain of a sports magazine, Striker DX. The site contained match updates, information, and practice resources for soccer fans. And so can you recreate some of the practice resources for soccer fans and rank those again, that'd be great. There's 130 plus referring domains. It has a 35 score in Majestic. The Moz was a 30 when I just looked, a DR of 15. It's 20-year-old domain. You're never going to find a 20-year-old domain that hasn't been dropped before. And so, like, to me, it would be finding a domain like this on which I can build a better business. So, for like, when you say, how can we get it booming? I hope, to me, I'm hoping you're not asking, like, how can I get it going fat? Like, how can I speed up sales faster? And if you are, I don't think I have the right answer for you. Because for me, when I look back at how I would start again, it's how I started the business I'm building currently. It's like, how can I build a better foundation so that I might grow a little slower? And in some places I might grow a little faster. But when I do, the whole house isn't going to topple over. Like if you ran as many ads as you could and sold a shit ton of one product, like that's going to be a financial windfall for you. But I bet it's going to lead to a lot of headaches and find a lot of holes in the bucket that you built. You're going to have a very leaky bucket. And so, I personally would build a wider, stronger foundation and grow a bit slower and be okay with growing a bit slower because it pays dividends in the long run. I'll give you an example. So if your customer searches a keyword and lands on your website and you have no other information to give them, that you haven't compared this product to any other products on your website, you haven't answered any of the questions around your product, you haven't built out any content around such product, or the problems your product solves, or how it might exist in your avatar's world, where else are they going to go? They're going to land on your product page, and if they don't buy, they're gone, right? And maybe you remarket to them, and maybe they see the product again, and maybe they come back. But if you have no other place for them to ascend up the ladder, if you will, and go down the buying path, you're probably not going to get the sale. And so, in my ability to buy this expired domain and have content ready to go just by recreating what was already existing on the site, as well as I already know here's some of the stuff I'm going to build. When I bring on a brand, it's not just like they have 20 products, let's get them up. It's here's how I want the collection page built out. Here's 5 to 10 pages of content around this brand or around their most popular products that make sense that we can put out quickly. That way, when I do actually run an ad, I have things to remarket with. I have other content on the site for them to consume. I have top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, and bottom of the funnel keywords to recapture them or remarket to them. And so for me, again, it's about building a bigger foundation. I don't know if that spurred any thoughts in your head, John, as far as how you might do it differently.
Yeah, look, I mean, yes, and I think that's a really good answer. I probably skipped over that to a certain extent. I think, yes, I would do everything probably faster, including, you know, all of those unseen parts of the business, like the back end, how it's managed, you know, how the customer service happens, all of that sort of thing. Like I would set that up a lot quicker and get it right a lot quicker than I did, you know, the first times I was doing it, if I did it all again today with the same business. Like I've often thought about that question, thought back to my very first business where I was selling the lighting and all of that sort of stuff, and thought, like, if I did that one again, not that I would pick that as a niche, but if I did that again, like, how different would it have been if I did it with what I know now, or if I bought that business back or something like that, like how much better or bigger could it be? And yeah, I mean, there's a whole load of ways that I could see that could have been different if I knew what I knew now when I was doing it back then. And a lot of them around that are not just the how could the marketing be different, it's also how could I have you know, managed the business better as well. You know, it could have been managed a lot better too, and that probably would have resulted in a lot more profit, the business and revenue and that sort of thing.
If you could buy your business back right now, would you?
Well, I'm pretty sure the guys I sold it to have pretty much just run it straight into the ground, so I could probably buy it back really cheap, to be fair. Look, depending on the price, it might be interesting to do that from some perspectives. Do I really want to run that business again? No, not really. I mean, I could just start. Amazingly, I didn't actually sign a non-compete when I sold that business. Another reason why Empire Flippers are fucking stupid. At no point in that sale process did I have to sign a non-compete. So I could have gone straight back in and gone straight back into that niche straight after I sold it if I wanted to be honest.
I think that happens everywhere, though. My wife got divorced. We're both divorced and came together. And in her marriage, somehow it was never brokered into the divorce language. What happens to the house? So her, like, her ex-husband's been living really? There for years. And here's the catch. He's been paying off the house, and she gets half of everything he's been paying off. When it sells, she gets half of all that, which it's being sold right now. But what a weird deal. Like, I think that just happens. Like, I don't know. You love to shit on Empire Flippers, but like, and believe me, I could shit on him a little bit myself. But like, I don't know. I think that shit happens in contract negotiations. But I think it'd be interesting.
Sure it does, yeah.
I try to think through my old businesses, and I reached out to one. Mark, if you're listening, I'd probably buy one of those back from you. But, you know, I don't have the time I wish I had. But at the same time, I think there's some regrets there, you know, looking back at those old businesses, what we could have done, you know. And that's the type of stuff that I would do differently in a new business. And I think I have in the one that I'm currently building.
Yeah. 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 It's a good question.
I gotta mention this, though. I'm on Otis. So I check this regularly for random pet websites that I can either forward to my domain, or we could build a affiliate site on and drive traffic to my pet website. There's only three on here currently. And the first one is myfriendagain.com. John, what do you think myfriendagain.com, as it relates to pets, what did you think? What do you think that website did?
My friend again. Taxidermy?
Close. I actually didn't know this was a thing, but it is the former domain of a website offering details about pet cloning services. As your dog's passing, you grab some DNA and just clone it, and you get you get Rover number two.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something you would do?
No. No, I personally do that? No, I wouldn't. I do have dogs. I've always had dogs. I love dogs, but no. Just like if a member of my family passed, I wouldn't get them cloned either.
I feel like I know people that do this with their dogs, though, where they've had their whole life one style of dog, one color dog, and then they name it the same name. I actually know some people like this, which to me, that's just weird. Like, I've had two awesome cats, Angel and Leo, Leo's probably going to go soon. I can't imagine going buying another gray cat who looks like Leo and then calling him Leo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they hold a special place. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's no surprise. A lot of people on this planet have an unhealthy relationship with the notion of death.
For sure.
Honestly. And I'm not saying that as a criticism, but as such, there's often very good reasons for that. But things die, man. Things end. That's part of life. Get used to it.
I mean, this is a complete random tangent here on the Patreon, but I think I'm one of those people, John. My whole childhood, I went to one funeral, I think, total. I don't really know anyone that died. And then at 25, my mom died, right? So like no funerals to a huge, you know, something that impacted my life in ways I can't even explain. And then, you know, I lost a good friend of mine. He overdosed when I was 30 or something, 32. But other than that, I haven't really experienced it. Certainly at 38, I've been thinking a lot about my own mortality and like having a kid, maybe that brings it on or whatever. But I think I'm one of those people that you're right. But that doesn't lead me to cloning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we could have cloned my mom,
that's weird.
She'd be 13 right now. Like, do I want to hang out with
this weird
some girl who isn't my mom, who looks like my mom and is 13? What? Even a dog. I still don't get it with the pets, man. That's weird.
No, I don't get it at all. I don't get it at all.
Anyway, weird tangent that I spotted on Otis.global. I would check them out. Guys, sign up. It looks like I have $2,700 in here to spend, so that's nice. I should probably spend that sometime.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. not just drop shipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat drop shipping businesses to PDF drop shipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.